Greetings to SSS4 class. As you read this text I hope will resonate deeply in your hearts with you. And that word is simply a love for the Lord's word, right? In 163 we read, "But I love your law." And this is a wonderful word. In 167, the psalmist says, "And I love them exceedingly." And well, we should. Because as we read the Lord's word, we really stand in awe of his word. We can rejoice in his word. When we read the Lord's word with understanding, we actually are finding great treasure. So much so that seven times a day, the heart will praise the Lord. And then those who have a love for the Lord's word, they have great peace in their heart. This is what I wish for you all as you read the Lord's word together this morning. To have a love for the Lord's word, a love for the Lord's law, and finding great peace and praise within your heart as a result. Have a wonderful time of reading the Lord's word today. Every blessing.
Now, we look at verse 161 to 168 today. Now, here's the thing that is being highlighted from this segment we call Shin. Okay? So, 163, we read, "I love your law. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law." Okay? 165, "Great peace have those who love your law." 167, "My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Now, this morning, we're going to focus on this whole idea of a love for the Lord's word. And I'm going to look at that last phrase in 167, "I love them exceedingly." Now, again, we have to remember that 119 is basically a journal. And in any journal, why do you journal at all? Because you want to take time to see where you began. And you want to see how you have progressed. That's the point of a journal. To keep track of how you have grown and developed over the years. So when we read words like this about love in 163, "I love your law, I love them exceedingly," we have to ask ourselves, what was the journal entry at the beginning? Right? So we're going to take a bit of time to trace this idea of a love for the Word of God. Was it actually there to begin with? And the answer is actually no. It wasn't. But it came up along the way. It developed, it grew, it cultivated into something very strong. And that's what we call an exceeding love for the Word of God. Okay, bear with me. Let's take a bit of time to look at 119. And we trace it from the beginning. Right? We're not going to read every single verse, of course, but if you would just let me point out some of these things to you. Was there any mention of love in the first five segments of Psalm 119? No mention of love. Mention of commitment? Yes. Determination? Yes. But not love. When did love actually begin? It began in verse 47, which is the sixth segment. Okay, and it says, "I will delight myself in your commandments which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments which I love." That's the first mention of love. And that already tells us something about the nature of the Word of God. It is not something we love automatically. It is not something we love naturally. Why? Because we are sinful. And the sinful part of us does not know how to love something as pure and holy as the Word of God. It's as simple as that. So the love for God's Word then, it's a cultivated love rather than a natural kind of love. And there are many things in life that have to be a cultivated kind of love. The Word of God is there, one of them. Okay? Now, we go on and we read, are there more references to love? Very much so. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law." He talks about meditating on it all the day. 97. Okay? And then in 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. 119, therefore I love your testimonies. You see, so he begins to talk about this whole idea of love coming through very, very much. Okay? And then 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. See, there's a growing sense of this love now. So by the time we come to 161, and he mentions three times in one segment, love, love, exceeding love. Now that tells us something about how far he has grown, how much he has developed, and he has really learned to love the Word of God. This is what we are seeing very, very much today. It's an exceeding kind of love. What's the exceeding kind of love? It's not less than, it's not comparable to, it is more than. So we think of all the things that we love. Well, people love a lot of things. In Japan, people love, what do people go there for? Uishi, uishi. The food, the beef, every slice of beef, they say, ooh, it's so good, so good, so good. A meal from the supermarket is better than a meal in a restaurant. You, whoa, so good, so good. A lot of people love a lot of things. Yeah, there's people go there, there's shopping, it's so good, shopping. Wow, and then they've got the mountains and everything. Wow, fantastic. Love, a lot of people, I love, wow, love Japan. You see on the flight back from Japan, you see all the people hand carry. I don't know what they hand carry. So much hand carry. A flight delayed, everybody continue shopping still in the airport. You ever heard of final call shopping? I never, final call. Okay, we go shopping. Love. How do we love something exceedingly? How do we love something more than? This is what the Word of God and the journey of it should be to us. But if we're to be very honest, it's a very rare thing to have someone say, I love God's Word exceedingly. It's very rare. It's very rare. But this is where the psalmist has come to at this stage in his life, at this stage in his walk with the Lord. He can speak of this honestly. That is a challenge for us all. Can we speak of a love for the Lord and His Word exceedingly? That is a huge challenge. I took a bit of time to reflect on my own journey of what it means to know God's Word, to love it. You know, the thing that got me wanting to serve in the pastoral ministry, one of the big factors was actually to do with the Scriptures. Well, my journey, how did it begin to open up to me? First, it was very personal. Because it was just having the gospel shared with me as a youngster and just listening to pastor over the years open it up, making an impact in my heart, in my life. It became something that I just wanted to know. But one of the big things that drew me to pastoral ministry was actually the Scriptures. And then as I grew up a bit older, I began to find that there is an academic part of me. And that academic part never quite goes away. I just want to know what it means. I want to know what it means in the original language. I want to know what it means. I want to know what the author meant. I don't want to know platitudes. I want to know what it actually means. And so began a search and this desire to say, how can I really, really come to know and love the Word of God? So it was during the COVID time when there was not a whole lot of things going on in church and many things had to be, no in-person meetings, that I started to ask Pastor, how can I really grow in this love for God's Word? And he said, you try this, translate. So this is what I did. I have to learn the Greek language, which I did. And then, of course, it's anywhere near what we talk about of really knowing it very well. I still need, half the time, I need a lexicon next to me to understand the words. But that began a journey of working with the Word of God. And it's for me an everyday thing. It is just trying to verse by verse understand the Scriptures. So I don't know Hebrew. So I cannot tell you Shin, Tau. I don't know all that. Maybe one day, but not right now. My focus right now is actually the New Testament and the Greek New Testament to make sure that I know it book by book. So it started one book at a time, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Book of Romans, Book of Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Peter, and so on and so forth. And the goal is to translate the whole thing for myself, not for anybody, for my own understanding. But you see, this, even this is such a basic level when it comes to the Word of God. What is truly, truly, when it really begins to stand out, when it really begins is when you see its power flow in the life of a person and, of course, in the lives of the people it is shared with. Now, this is the level of knowing and loving the Word of God, which I would very much like to come to. It's a journey. It's a journey. And the whole point of Psalm 119 is to show us that there is a beginning point, there is a point in the middle where you persist, and there is a point at the end where you say, I have discovered this for myself. That is what knowing and loving the Word of God is. My question to you this morning, where are you on this journey? Have you come to love the Word of God? Is it stage one will be no love, struggle, a lot of struggle. I want to make it a part of my life, first five segments, and we're still struggling. Second part will be we can speak of love now. So at this point of time, I think I can speak of a little bit of a love for it. I can speak of having seen people's lives touched and changed by it. And then I can speak of a little bit. But can I speak of exceeding love at this point of time now? No. No, not really. I would not put myself in this category easily. Who can speak of exceeding love? The man up there just now. I mean, he can speak of exceeding love. You know, he's been speaking all the more. He's been sharing with us. Yesterday, he met up with the younger boys, the discipleship group. And then he talked to them about his own habits. And he says that now it is consciously praying before and memorizing God's word before working. So it is praying, working, morning, afternoon, praying, working, evening, praying, working. And the whole time in Japan, I was also up early. One of the things I wanted to do is to catch up with his emails because he is on email, strong, sending out things. He's starting this thing called a children's devotional. So, you know, we have devotions on all things, but we never had a children's devotional before. So we now have Audrey in. Well, the newest member of our pastoral staff. So she'll be here to develop this. A lot of it is in the writing and in the design of it all. So we will see that coming up soon. But he is sending them one devotion a day, two devotions a day, two devotions a day. It's meant to be one devotion a week. So he has written enough for 6 months, and the team is still in the midst of designing the first devotion. Every morning, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., two devotions, two devotions, two devotions. And then finally he said, I will slow down. He wrote to them and said, please do not be too stressed. Don't be too pressured. Writing takes many years to cultivate. And then the next email said, I'm going to slow down a little bit just for their sake, not for his sake. But it's just flowing from him. He said he's now memorizing passages and he's looking at. That's why I think part of the reason he really wants to share things is because there's so much there in his heart. He might as well share it. So great, share it on video. That's what it is. But that is what we call an exceeding love. That is amazing. It's a journey. Where are you on this journey of loving the Lord and His Word? Right? And this is a stage where He has come to. It is absolutely wonderful to be able to see this. And you know, a love for something is, sometimes you don't know how it begins, but it can begin somewhere. And once it begins, it's absolutely worth cultivating that love. Right? So this week in Japan, I was with the family, and one of the persons I wanted to pay attention to was my eldest nephew. His name is Jesha. He's about 11 years old, and he's very intelligent. He is a gifted program boy. He's very good at math and puzzles and things like that. And so he said, wanted me to relate to him a little bit more, to talk to him a little bit more. So that's what I did. I didn't really have a very strong relationship with him previously, but you know, I said, we got to begin somewhere. So this trip, I especially took time, be with him, joke with him, relate to him. And I hope that there can be something special that would come out from these things here. Love. Where does it begin? Sometimes it's hard because I just can't connect. And when it comes to the scriptures too, it's the same. You know, and that's why we have pastors. That's why pastor is given to us. To help us to understand how real and relevant this word of God can be to us. And once the connection is there, then it's possible to actually love the word of God. Right? And through the years then, to cultivate a love that grows and grows until it becomes what we call an exceeding kind of love. And that's very special to be able to look at. That is the hope, that is the challenge for SSS4. To look at 13 years of being a class and saying that we have grown in love for the Word of God. Well, maybe we're not exceeding, but we are on the journey and we are getting there, we are getting somewhere. Okay, so this is the first idea of it all, exceeding love. That is a very, very challenging idea. Now, with exceeding love, we must also see how does it translate? Because then it will translate into what we call expressions of love. Beautiful and wonderful expressions of love. Right? Because love cannot be just kept in the heart. It doesn't work that way. Right? Love will always find a way to come through, to be expressed. So when children love the parents, they will find a way to express that love. When the parents love the children, they will find a way to express the love. Perhaps to the point of spoiling them sometimes. But it will always find expression. And this is what we see very much and when we read this segment, 161, my heart stands in awe of your word. Now that was where we begin to look at it and we just really stand in awe of it. This is the goal of every preacher. This is the goal of every preacher, to make the word of God come alive such that people look at it and stand in awe. I say goal. It doesn't mean that it's a goal we always achieve, but it is a goal that we must ever and always strive to. Right? Let's look at this, 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. This is the whole idea of rejoicing. What is the expression? What is the expression of a person who really loves God's word exceedingly? This person will rejoice in it. You know, it's just like finding a treasure. It's like digging for treasure. So my mainstay, my fallback, always is to go back to this translation work that I do every day. So there can be periods where I am not able to, for example, junior camp. I can't translate during junior camp, it's not possible. March family camp, there's no way. Okay, Perth family camp, there is no way. Because we have to fully dedicate ourselves to ministry at that point of time. But on a day-to-day basis, what do I fall back to? What is my mainstay? I just go back to it again and verse by verse translate. I find a great joy in doing that. I know that not many people will or do, but I do. And my goal is I'm like digging for treasure. I'm trying to uncover some truth, trying to uncover something that I can understand and grasp and say, wow, and stand in awe of it. It doesn't happen every day. It happens sometimes. But the hope is I'm like a miner. You know, it's just like the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I'm one of the seven, just mining away at the scriptures, trying to find nuggets of gold. This is what it is. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. You know, it's just like we were in Japan and the children in Japan, at a certain age, 6 to 12 years old, mad about this thing called Pokemon. You know what is Pokemon? It's such a huge thing. It's been around since I was a kid. I was never into it because I'm smarter than that. But I'm just kidding. But they love it. They love this thing. Actually, it's very clever because it plays on this idea of a relationship, like with a pet. So it's like this is something in a ball, and when you throw it out, it's actually a creature, and that creature has its own quirks, and you have to understand the creature to bring out the best in it. And then they have generation after you have hundreds and hundreds of creatures. You imagine how the Japanese are really good at this. They just keep this business going all the time. New generation. And then our children all go crazy over it. That's one part about the Japanese. Somehow they're very good at creating these kind of things. And anyway, so there they are. And of course, they like these things. So the uncles, the aunties, and they buy these packets, you know. So what they do is they have a little packet like that. It's less than $2 per packet, maybe a dollar plus. And then inside, maybe 9 cards or so. And then out of that 9, one card can be a good card. Then maybe 2 or maybe 0, depending on. So what do? They go to all the stores, they buy up maybe a lot of these things, then they open them bit by bit. See, like one finding great treasure. So they open it, and then they zoom, zoom. And then when they see the good one, they, whoa, the eyes open. I have a video of my son doing that. The eyes open there. You're going crazy. See, children have their toys. And they can spend hours with these things, looking at them, studying at them. Do you know there's a Pokemon Bible? There is a Bible that tells you there's the basically the knowledge of all the creatures. And they study it, and they buy it, and they love it. And my son tells me, I have a new Pokemon index book. And I'm so happy. See, this is... I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. See, children have their treasures. What is our treasure? What do we seek for, look for, rejoice in? I mean, if you had 3 hours, 4 hours to yourself, what would you do with that time? Would you go to the scriptures? Would you open it? Would you read it? Would you find treasures in it? This is love. Expressions. We cannot speak of love without expressions. This is what it is. 162. Okay, and then we read and we talk about, this is 164. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. 7 times a day. So every time you find something to rejoice in, praise the Lord. You find something to rejoice in, praise the Lord. I wish I 7 times a day I can say 7 times a day. That is really, really outstanding. This is really to be able to look at God's word and with such joy, with being able to discover new things, and then 7 times a day praising the Lord. I think Pastor can speak of that. 7 times a day praising the Lord, discovering new things, finding great and exceeding joy. These are the expressions very much of praise that are there, 164. Right, because of your righteous judgments. Okay, and 165 we read expressions again. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, today is Father's Day, and this morning I wrote an email over to Pastor, just to greet him, to regard him specially. I call him Dad, actually. I'm not sure if many of you know that. But I actually relate to him as a godson. Auntie Sally, when they were at the Bethel family camp, she told the church that I have 2 godsons who are pastors and left it up to them to guess who the 2 were. I actually relate to him in this way. And it's a special privilege to be able to do that. And I said to him from this verse, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Isn't it amazing when you look at his life? How come he can find this great peace? Right? I mean, many challenges. And you wonder which of them will cause him to stumble. Right? Whether it's a cancer thing, didn't cause him to stumble. Bell's palsy, didn't cause him to stumble. Kidney transplant, didn't cause him to stumble. Why? Well, here is a man who loves God's law. And with that love comes great peace. It's amazing to be able to see him find peace. I mean, we know that the body may not be at the same level of strength, but the spirit, the faith, the heart, the mind are still incredibly strong. And these are things that we look forward very much to seeing in 2 weeks' time, to be inspired for ourselves. But this is the reality of the truth that we are seeing in the lives of people. Right? And you look at it and you say, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. We need this peace. We all do. I mean, as you grow older, you will find that there are things that may trouble you very much. So I went to see Uncle Yao Hong when I came back on Friday. I went to see him, and he talks about, again, you know, the lake there and just cleansing. They call it, I call it debridement. The doctors call it something different. There's a French way of saying it. But it's just a cleansing. First one failed, second one failed, third one failed. And then now he has to go in for cleansing because the rods that are holding the bone there are infected too. Where does this end? And many things can trouble the heart and mind. And begin to realize that physical challenges never remain physical. They always translate to the mind. They always translate to the heart. And things bother you. It could be the past. It could be sins. It could be regrets. And things would just trouble the heart and mind. What we need is peace. Not only peace, great peace. How do we find this? You see, these are the expressions of those who really love the Word of God. There will be joy, there will be praise, and there will be a peace that attends to you in a way that cannot always be explained. This is what the Word of God does. But what is the challenge for us? Love it. Love it exceedingly. That is our challenge. We look at all of these things here, right? So we've got one, let's take a bit of time to recap. We've got one, we talk about this thing we call an exceeding love. Two, we have expressions of love. Three, what is the best and most important thing? I call this essential responses. Okay, we look at 166 to the end. It reads here, Lord, I hope for your salvation and I do your commandments. Right? 167, my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies. Now, here's the last part of it and here's the balance to it all. This is an essential response. Keep the word of God and do it. You see, love takes us somewhere. But how do you sustain that love? It is sustained when we actually keep and when we actually do. To keep would be to take the Word of God there and not only read it and understand it as knowledge, but to really hide it inside the heart until it becomes very much a part of us. So one will sustain the other. A love will help us to keep God's word. But keeping it also sustains the love. And so they are carefully placed side by side. If we only love, we run out of steam. If we only keep, we are mechanical. So we got to find a blend of the two such that one sustains the other. That is why it's so important to take the time to hide the Lord's word in the heart. That is why it's so important to take time with God's word. And it is, we call it a love. At the same time, in the same breath, we call it a discipline. Why? Because you need the both at the same time. Right? So, sometimes the love, you feel tired, you feel dry, you feel, then the discipline takes over. Sometimes the love is there and it fuels you to go forward. But whatever the case may be, this is an essential response. Doing and keeping need to go together. 166, Lord, I hope for your salvation and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I keep your precepts, for all my ways are before you. This is the challenge. Essential response. Keep it. Do it. Practice it in your life. And that is how the Lord's word can become very much a part of us. So this is the challenge that we are looking at over here. One, exceeding love. Will it come immediately? No. Will it come tomorrow? No. But can it be cultivated? Absolutely, yes. Two, there will always be expressions of this love, a rejoicing of the heart, a sense of praise that comes, and a sense of peace that will come to you when you need it the most. These are the wonderful expressions. And lastly, we talk about essential responses. Will we do the Lord's word? Will we keep God's word? You see, if there is no response, that love, no matter how great, cannot be sustained. And we will find that the word of God is part of us sometimes, but not always. Sometimes there is love, sometimes there is no love, but we won't be able to go beyond a certain level because the response is simply not there. And so that is the challenge here, to respond and to say, I want to do and I want to keep. And this is very much what we want to try to attempt here. So how do we look at all of these things as we come to the end? I think one of the best approaches to take is just to say, let me take a very reflective approach to all of these things here. Let me say to myself, can I learn to love God's word a little bit more? Well, I will be very honest with you and tell you that is my journey. This is my journey that I'm on. Do I love God's word in a way that is truly exceeding at this point of time? I cannot tell you that. But I can tell you that I'm learning how to love it. I learn how to love it when I see how it is shared and it impacts lives. I remember this young man from last year. He was baptized or reaffirmed last year. His name is Daryl. His problem was a drinking problem. It was so bad, his problem. He wrote in his testimony that he had a fever for 6 months. Fever for 6 months. Can you even imagine that? Because the pancreas was so badly inflamed. At a certain point of time, he couldn't even walk to get himself food, walk out of the house for a distance to get himself food. It was so bad. What happened? This is not a new problem. Started when he was much younger. That's why we must watch out for our young people. They start learning these habits, start drinking a lot. And then what happened was that lifestyle with all the friends, partying, drinking, late nights, bad lifestyle. He couldn't control this part of him. 10 years later, this happened to him. You see, his life, he dropped out of school. 2 years in university and he dropped out. And he came to a point, he said, he's depressed, cannot control the alcohol problem, drop out of school. I've got nothing. I've got nothing in my life. And so then he came to me and said, I used to talk to you when I used to go to church. Can we talk again? What do we do? Do we have it in us to turn a life around? No. Do we have it in us, any of us, to change the heart of a person? No. What do we have? The tools of our trade are the scriptures. So we turn to it. And I read with him Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. I studied, I read, I shared. I studied, I read, I shared. I studied, I read, I shared. Months later, we began to see God do a special work in him. First, the alcohol stopped completely. He managed to cut that out of him. It was amazing how that happened, without going into any formal rehab or things like that. And then he stopped that, began to recover health. Amazingly, God gave him a job. I mean, here's a person who drops out of school because of an alcohol problem. The person will find a job. Even people who do well in university cannot find jobs today easily. But he did an internship, and then the company said, you know, we like the way you work. We like you. We think you're trustworthy. Would you like a full-time job? That was amazing to see. And so he's given a full-time job, and now he served with us at the junior camp. Just this, he's a very shy boy. He doesn't open up a whole lot because he's very shy, but he wants very much a part to be a part of the church. He wants to serve the Lord. He wants to be there. He was willing to be in the background. He would do AVA work. He would do anything. He said, I asked him how's his work. He said, my work is fine, but I would rather clean God's house anytime than be out there. This is what the Word of God does in the lives of people. This is something that I believe in with all my heart, that if we open it up, even if we are imperfect in how we do so, that if we are committed to it, that God's Word can reach hearts, change lives, minister to people, turn things around. In the greatest hardships, it will be there. In your greatest challenges, it will be there. When you need to feel the Lord near, it will be there. This is what the Word of God is. And this is why we love it. This is why we are challenged to know it. This is why we make it a part of us. Rejoicing, praising, and peace. This is what it's all about. And so after my experience with him, I said to myself, this is something we must be committed to doing among our young people. Whoever is struggling a lot, whoever may need extra help, let's sit down, let's work at it, and let's see whether God will do a special work in your life. It will not be exactly the same for everyone, but the potential and the possibility is there, provided we know God's Word, provided we love God's Word. Well, that's where I'm coming from. That's where I am at this point of time, and this is why I will continue on my own journey of learning and knowing and loving God's Word. Well, let me ask you this morning, what's your reason? It could be special and difficult challenges, and you realize you need God's Word. It could be your own difficulties that you struggle with for years. You need God's Word. It could be your work, and you realize you need God's Word. And this is where we come to realize that a need can become a want. A want can become a love, and a love can become an exceeding love. This is where it begins, right? And so this is what we are looking at in Psalm 119. Remember, we are at the tail end of the journal now. So what we're seeing are great and wonderful expressions. Can we be there one day? Yes. Yes, if we were to cultivate this love very strongly in our lives. Okay? Well, it's been a joy and pleasure to teach. Next week will be Pastor Ben Kwa, and then Pastor will come back, and then we will see you again. We will teach again at some point, because we are here. And you know, if one thing that I just treasure very much being up here this last few weeks, 2 months or so, it's just to feel even more connected with the class. To have you, some of you, just relate a little bit more, to share your challenges. I'm more than happy to do that, to continue that. And that is something we very much want to do. We just want to be there for you. And if we can build even stronger bonds and relationships, that would go a very, very long way. Okay? Okay, well, let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes it is in the challenges and difficulties of life that you show us how much we need you and how much we need your Word. We ask, Lord, that you help us to cultivate this love for your Word, perhaps one day to be able to speak of an exceeding love for your Word. We pray very much that for those especially who are going through a lot of challenges, that they will find great peace because they have learned to love your Word, and that nothing will stumble them. We pray very much and ask that you would bless the class in the years ahead, that this class would truly be an example to many in Bethany. We ask for your grace, mercy, and love to be outpoured. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.